Well, welcome back to the Back in Five podcast. My name is Sean Clark. I am the worship pastor here at Bethel Community Church, and I'm joined with Bradley Belcher, our senior pastor. We're in a series in the book of Genesis, back to the beginning, and we are in chapter one yet again this last week.
It's still like it keeps on going.
Was this part three?
Yeah.
And part four.
We're to day two.
Yeah.
Well, we hit part, no, yeah, three a little bit.
We're there. We're somewhere in the first pericope or pericope.
Nice.
However you say it.
Nice correction.
So there you go.
I've heard it both ways.
But
we're doing day three this week.
Oh, this is just a side note.
What?
This is all being recorded. My wife says it's pronounced Nutella. And then when I said that you pronounce it Nutella, she's like, oh, wait, he's probably right because he spent time in Europe. So I concede.
Oh, bless you.
So leave a comment if you want to and give us your opinions on whether or not it's Nutella or Nutella. All right. So we talked about the idea is God being sovereign, God being the one who determines who sets standards and who sets distinctions. And who establishes meaning and creates the environment for life and judgment. So this is a very God-centered, obviously, sermon. So talk us through some of the things that you pointed out.
Well, obviously, it's creation, so God most certainly is in the center of it. Mm-hmm. And he should be receiving all the credit due him for his amazing work in creating all that there is. And so, you know, we've talked about a lot of things so far in the first two sessions and now leading into this third one here with God creating the heavens and the earth and talking about the Holy Spirit hovering over the face of the deep. And then God said, let there be light. In verse 4, we're told that God saw that the light was good. And so it just seemed to me that, well, who gets to say what's good or not? Well, God does. So. Yeah. It's God alone who sets the standard for what's good. And that's not just about light. That would be about anything, right?
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. Because obviously that's going to carry out. That's where we would get the rest of the biblical mandates and the morals that we would establish because God is the one who is authoritatively over it.
Right, and quite frankly, if there is no God determining what is good, in other words, if in reality it's all a naturalistic landscape where there is no divine, then how would you know if anything was good?
You couldn't, yeah.
And how would you be able to tell if anything was beautiful? The root word here, tov, in Hebrew, could easily be translated as beautiful. God saw that the light was beautiful. And without the standard of God saying what's beautiful, what's not, then we really would wrestle with understanding anything that would be good or beautiful.
Right. And so that sets up the rest of the Bible, even right there, that there's this God who is above that, who sets the standard.
Right. And and points us towards that, which is good. I'm all for that because I'm like all of us, we're all longing for that, which is good.
Yeah.
Where'd we get that other than from him?
We couldn't.
Right.
So then also God alone determines the distinctions between all things.
Yeah, at this point, we see that God separates the light from the darkness. So he's the one who sets these two ideas apart and these two entities, light and darkness, in terms of the physical. And we could also argue in terms of the spiritual. But quite frankly, it's God who really brings about the distinctions between everything that we encounter, whether it's black and white, true, false, hot and cold, male and female, all those things we discussed this last Sunday. And so maybe things are more this or that, as opposed to what our world would like to teach us, is that everything's more gray and muddled. And again, there are some people who really wrestle with that kind of dichotomy. They really want a world of gray where it really doesn't matter. But, you know, it's Jesus who continues these kind of distinctions when he says, look, there's a narrow gate and a wide gate. And so it's God himself, through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who continues this idea that there are distinctions that need to be made that we've got to deal with as human beings in his good earth that he's created.
One of the things that you had mentioned even at the beginning of your sermon, you just used a couple words like, you know, not a black and white world, but like this gray longing of our people. You had mentioned that, you know, we need to kind of overcome the secular humanistic programming that we have all kind of just been we are a part of. Like that's our environment. That's what comes natural to us through our education, through, you know, whatever it might be.
Well, and that's what we're dealing with in our society. You know, we want things to be gray, lukewarm, and as I said on Sunday, sexless, benign, not moral or immoral, but amoral. Mm. Or not right or wrong, but somewhere in between. But wait a minute, there is no in between on that.
Yeah.
Either it's right or it's not right.
Right. So God alone sets the standards, and then God makes those distinctions. And then you also said that God alone ordains the meaning of all things. So talk about that.
Well, in verse 5, we get this first defining oracle where God called the light day. And over and over again, this is going to happen throughout the rest of chapter 1, where God does something and then he tells us what it is. And he is God, and he has that right to define what he's doing. Mm. And we need to pay attention to that and not run away or turn away from it and be okay with it. In this case, he's defining, you know, what a day is. He calls the light part that, you know, that's day, and the dark part that's night. You know, this isn't complicated.
Right, we can figure that out.
And then we had a long discussion on, well, how much time is this? Mm. And, you know, this seems to be a 24-hour time period. We've also seen wherever we see yom at the end of the phrase in verse 5, and there was evening, there was morning, the first day, yom for the word day, and then an ordinal number, the first day in particular in the Hebrew. Whenever you have yom and an ordinal number, it's always a 24-hour time period in the Old Testament. It just is. Go look it up. It's always that.
Yeah.
So why would some, you know, people would like to say, well, no, maybe he meant millions of years here for each day, which that poses a whole host of other problems created by way of the creation account if you insert that kind of number in there. Because now you don't have the sun, moon, and stars showing up for millions of years.
Yeah.
Which makes even less sense than having it show up one day four.
Yeah.
So that poses a different problem. But everybody knows what a day is. There's this light part, there's a dark part, it's a day. So why don't we just go with that?
Right.
And it's God who's ordaining that meaning. And why don't we just be at peace with that and receive it as it is and then go with it? And then see if we can find correspondence as we look into the world and see if it makes sense.
Right, yeah.
And it does.
Right, yeah. And that kind of leads you to the last part too, where God alone creates the environment for life and judgment. All these main points, it's God alone, God alone, God alone, God alone. So you'd expect the last point to be God alone, and he creates the environment for life and judgment. Talk about that.
Well, again, he's creating the atmosphere and hydrosphere, which is going to be a place for life for the fish and the fowl that he creates on day 5, and ultimately the land's going to come out of that. So he's creating this fashioning, if you will, from our first discussion on tohu vavohu, where he fashions and he fills. So he's fashioning these environments for life for us. And not only that, especially with the hydrosphere, that's the water canopy that's discussed here in these verses, this expanse in the midst of the waters, let it separate the waters from the waters. And God made the expanse to separate the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. So there's waters up above and there's water below. And this water that's up above seems to be very apparently placed for a future judgment that God brings by way of a global flood. Mm. So again, the old, you know, question you ask of your junior high class, how much water did God have to create to flood the world? And the answer is he didn't have to create a drop because he had already created it at the very beginning.
Yeah.
It was all ready to go. And in a world where God creates the environment for life and for judgment, he being God would know what was possible and what was...
Yeah. Okay, so what do we have to look forward to this next week?
Well, this coming Sunday, we'll be looking at day 3 in particular. And we're going to do some botany, talk about plants. Mm. And this is the incredible design element with all that God did to create. I mean, think of all the variety of plant life on this planet and the dry land. Ian, don't tell anyone, but everybody is going to get an apple.
I won't tell anybody.
Don't tell anyone that everyone's going to get an apple on Sunday to contemplate God's awesome creative ability.
So come to Bethel, get an apple.
Right.
We'll see you on Sunday.